Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Raw Knowledge Podcast with your guest as ever, myself, Alex Connor. And we're here today with some more phenomenal guests. We're talking about skincare. I'm joined by Tim and Tanis. Thanks for joining me this morning, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Very, very welcome. I appreciate you coming down from Brisbane. We had some technical things before going on that you guys can't see. We've got new TV installed, this, that, and the other. So we had a good cruise. We had a chat about Formula One. But as ever, let's start at the beginning. Tell the viewers, in case they are not aware, what you do and why you do it. And whoever wants to go first.
Mm-hmm. Ladies first.
So Tim and I co-founded the brand Other Half. So it's a brand that's dedicated to normalizing skincare for men. So we launched, only a few months ago, but
still very fresh.
It feels like it's been a lot longer. Mm-hmm. The aim of the whole brand and the whole purpose and mission is that we want to normalize men looking after themselves and not just doing their skincare, but just general self-care. Did you want to?
Yeah, I think we were looking at the space, and I guess we'll get into our direct experience with the space, mostly coming from Tan's angle, but I guess we observed the space and what was currently available mostly in Australia. And we saw a lot of more brands entering the space, which is phenomenal. I think the first thing we'll say off the bat and what we say to people is we don't take the angle of, oh my God, more brands are entering the space, they're taking up market share, blah, blah, blah. We understand that there's still education that needs to occur in the space. So we look at that as being a fantastic thing. But we approached this brand from the product side, I guess, in saying that we want to put a routine in place, a simplified routine that men can easily pick up, easily follow, and also maintain as well, and understand the benefits that they're getting from that. So, yeah, we launched with three products, a moisturizer, a cleanser, and an exfoliant, and we're seeing firsthand that men are absolutely loving this form of self-care, which is amazing.
Mm. And I can second that myself, and I guess for the viewers, the audience, a lot of people first of all resonate what you said, Tanis, about, you know, looking after themselves, mm-hmm. men wanting to, you know, improve their skincare, and then, you know, simplifying it, as you said, with the education. You reached out to me over social media. I liked it. It was very organic, something that I'm really passionate about, not just in the health space, but, you know, personally with my skin. And I think maybe for men, just like a lot of topics, they're maybe not as upfront at talking about it as women.
Definitely.
You know, it's more socially acceptable. I think, you know, when we look at, say, even basic media, you know, for women, it's fashion, it's how to look good, it's how to, you know, in the bedroom, that sort of stuff. It's not really there for men. Mm-hmm. But it is important because, as I always say with strength training, we are human. Mm. Therefore, even though we are slightly different, the principle is the same. And I think it's the same with skincare. Like, we should still be treating our skin. So maybe let's wind the clock back and take it from where this had its conception. And again, take that for, I guess, wherever you want to lead us on the journey.
Yeah, well, I guess the journey sort of started when we met, I guess, essentially almost 7 years ago. We met at uni. We were both studying business. And while I was studying, I was working part-time at one of Australia's biggest beauty retailers. So I had a massive passion for beauty and skincare and everything in that industry. And you know, over the years, I had sort of given Tim products as a bit of a guinea pig, or like, you know, oh, you should use this, or Tim, have you got sunscreen on today? You know, all of those things. And he slowly started to become a little more invested. I think, like, at first he was like, this is so foreign to me, like, I've never really looked after myself in this way. But and then I guess was really from my experience in the industry, I started to notice over the years there was so much more interest in men looking after themselves, and I had a lot of women coming in asking for men's brands. And to be completely honest with you, men can use any brand out there. But what we noticed is that there wasn't that sort of, almost, there wasn't that brand that was kind of like, here, like, I'll be your friend in this space. I'm going to teach you what you need to know. I'm going to teach you the basics. So we wanted sort of from the get-go, we knew that there was a lack of education and that really relatability in the space. So yeah, that's what sort of I guess kicked it all off. I mean, there was one particular time. I mean, you can probably tell this story.
Yeah, this actually gives a bit of context around the name of the brand being Other Half. Yeah. And it's funny, Tan said I was the test guinea pig for quite some time. So she would come home with a lot of different products and stuff. And it started off as I would typically be having very sporadic breakouts with my skin, right?
I was going to say, because it's quite, it looks like you got like quite fair skin as well, but like
yes.
It's very unblemished at the minute. I don't know if it's always that way.
No, but yeah, quite fair skin. I was always conscious of my skin and my appearance. I think any person would be lying if they said they had a breakout, it didn't knock the confidence a little bit. Mm-hmm. It certainly does. And, you know, growing up, I just didn't really know exactly how to treat it, right? It wasn't a priority for myself. But as Tan and I's relationship started growing and she would introduce me to more products, I became naturally more inquisitive over time. Mm-hmm. Which actually brings us to the story of the brand name. So there was one night in particular where I finally chimed up. I piped up a little bit and I said, hold on, what makes this product different to the last 10 that I've kind of put on my face, right?
Which is a viable question
that
a lot of people would ask.
Yeah, for sure. It's a cluttered industry. There's a lot out there, we'll be the first to admit. But so I piped up and asked a question and she responded, let me show you how the other half live. Essentially playing into the fact of, in a funny way, how the industry has been for so long. Obviously very, very skewed towards females. And naturally I just became a lot more interested, a lot more invested. And from there, I guess, we started discussing and it was really at the start of COVID and all of the lockdowns that were in place that we always knew that we had an interest for a business and we always wanted to start something of our own. It was just finding the right avenue and in which direction we wanted to take with it. But as we were discussing before we jumped on camera here and on the mics, you know, anything with a natural progression is good for a couple of reasons. I think for anyone that is going to invest in a brand, there needs to be that natural sense of relatability and knowing that these people have been through it. And their story is personable and relatable at the end of the day. And I think in terms of us and the dynamic and my relationship with skincare and Tan's experience with skincare, it's pretty personable on the surface level. So
I think that classic sort of like guy, you know, in a sort of male female relationship, guy doesn't look after his skin very much or doesn't have an interest in it or doesn't know much about it. The girlfriend does, and then they sort of, you know, trade products or he steals her products or whatever it is. Like, I think that's probably a common story out there. But I mean, there's a lot of societal norms around men and masculinity and looking after themselves and, you know, using beauty products are, you know, quote unquote, too feminine. And yeah, so I think there's probably a lot of people out there that are in that situation. Mm. I mean, you have definitely used a lot of my very expensive products in a, let's say, like wasteful sort of.
Look, I know that's a man way. It's like, yep, slap it on. I'm like, not that much.
Yeah. I will specify that I think now, obviously getting in the industry, I've really established a personal interest of my own. I love the skincare space. I'm fascinated by it all. Mm. So now I probably, you know, most definitely do know more than the common man, so to speak. But yeah, there might have been one or two occasions where I used a very expensive face wash as a body scrub, for example. Yeah. You know, and I heard about it too, mate. I'll be the first to admit.
Or the really rough body scrub on the face, which is like, no, just put the products down.
It's kind of funny, isn't my lesson. Really, women look from a distance going, but it's true what you said about the stigma. You know, it's the same in any industry, and I always liken it to my own as a metaphor because people think that there's female-specific exercises. Let's take a hip thrust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we've all got glutes. Yeah. We're all sat on them right now. Mm-hmm. It's the biggest muscle in the body, hence the name gluteus maximus. Should we not train them?
Yeah.
You know, is it only for women? So women generally again, it's a generalization, do too much and neglect the upper, and then vice versa. We all know, you know, men, upper body, you know, dominant. It's like, well, no, actually, we want to be balanced. We might respond differently to, you know, the weights based on our hormonal levels, but we should do them. And I think that's the same with skincare. And now, as you're saying, we're trying to normalize that. I think the big thing and the glaringly obvious question here, if I'm listening to this, and one of the major questions I had with skincare when I started my own journey is, as you said, what is the difference? How do I know what products to take? Now, I had an interaction when I was young in New Zealand. I was always chatting to people, and I can't remember how I came across this contact with this lady. And she was in the skincare, and she's like, you know, I can help you with this. And I was always saying, look, I don't even know where to start. And, you know, back then I didn't really have any money. And as you've already alluded to, wow, some of the, you know, the products are wildly expensive. Now, just a good perfume, if you can justify it and you understand it, okay, it's the ingredient quality or maybe even the dosage, you know, which I think does have its place. But I think, you know, especially as a man too, we're very logical and we go, hang on a minute, I don't want to be doing 5 products or 6 or 10 products. We just want to get up and go. So I guess a great question to unpack for the viewers is, you know, how do I identify like a good product? And maybe let's dive into the ingredients and specifically like how it's sourced, because it's the same with supplements. It might read the same on a bottle, but how do we know, like, or what is best practice? And then maybe what is the most simplistic skincare routine for anyone to start with? Although I do know it is individualized by the type of skin. So if that makes sense, maybe we can unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, like any industry, marketing is huge. It's kind of key in the skincare industry, and there are so many, you know, you'll like hear about this one product that it's life-changing and you'll never get wrinkles again in your life, which is just, it's so not true. Like, it's so you do have to sort of look past the marketing jargon essentially at the end of the day. In terms of identifying good products, I mean, if you can sort of educate yourself on like turning the product over and looking at the ingredient list, and I mean, there's tools online, you can search, you know, ingredient analyzer tools and stuff like that. It's just kind of about like being a bit more aware of what's out there.
Doing a bit of research.
Yeah, definitely. I think like, if, as you said, it's pretty similar with supplements. Like, unless you don't really care about what you're going to use as a supplement, you might just like walk into Chemist Warehouse and pick up whatever's on the shelf for sale or whatever.
Makes sense.
Whichever one has the brightest and most colourful tag in the case of Chemist Warehouse. But
yeah, literally.
But I think, yeah, at the end of the day, if you're really interested, even if you can find someone you know, or if there's someone who's got a really big online presence who is really trustworthy, or a professional, if you see an esthetician for facials or a dermatologist, that sort of thing.
What was that first one? An esthetician?
Esthetician.
What? I've not heard of that one before.
Oh, it's essentially people who are professionals in the beauty space, so performing facials and all that sort of thing. Yeah, it's just a...
Right, I've just not heard
skin specialist.
Yeah, no, I've not heard of that one before.
It's probably like a bit more of an official word.
Is that meant
like
to be like
specialist?
A take on aesthetics? Is that where that's coming from? Is it a different?
I'd say so.
I'm just trying to see the derivative of it.
I've never actually even thought about that, but I'd say so.
That's good. I'm learning. I'll have to learn.
So I think, I mean, ultimately, most people are probably just going to use that sort of, you know, standard products that they can, you know, access on the shelf or online or wherever it is. But, I mean, ultimately, if you have a major issue with your skin, it is so important to seek out a professional to, you know, if you want to see change. Watching YouTube videos and all that sort of stuff, it's helpful to a point, and then it can become really unhelpful, and you can sort of start to use the wrong products and you kind of get worse issues. So it's kind of like anything, obviously, in certain sort of doses, it's healthy. But I think ultimately, yeah, you want to be able to understand what's going on your skin at the end of the day. So with us, like, we knew the key ingredients we wanted to go in our products. A lot of those are ingredients that are you know, very common, but they also help to fight common concerns. So with men, it was particularly, you know, ingrown hairs, that sort of thing, breakouts. So with our cleanser, we wanted to use salicylic acid, which helps essentially penetrate the pore. It's an oil-soluble ingredient, so it breaks down any excess sort of oil in the pores, which also helps, yeah, prevent breakouts, helps to sort of reduce the risk of getting ingrowns when you're shaving and all of that sort of stuff. So when we were sort of formulating our products, we knew that we had certain ingredients in mind, but ultimately we wanted to work with a formulator who was, you know, incredibly skilled and could source the highest ingredients for our products. So, you know, there are so many different things you can sort of look to, but ultimately those are the experts. And so in our case, we just sort of had to work with them one-on-one and test and try and that sort of thing.
Of course. I think underlying, though, it's super important to find a brand that is very transparent around how they have formulated their products, which was definitely first and foremost in our minds, talking to our formulations, making sure all of our information was there. So if any person did come seeking it, and we knew that men wouldn't readily be seeking that as much as what women would. However, we need to have that there because at the end of the day, we want to be as transparent as possible. Mm. And, you know, for example, we are the first people to really speak out about the importance of SPF. Although we don't have an SPF in our range right now. The reason for that is Australia's regulations around SPF are so damn strict, which is a fantastic thing. And we want to make sure that when we get to that stage, we can formulate a product that is absolutely, you know, a premium product, and at the end of the day, it gets the job done. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll also admit that there are so many amazing SPF products out there, and we don't have an issue with recommending that to our community. So, I think in terms of the levels of observing man's relationship with self-care, and more specifically skincare, we said, okay, let's get a simplistic routine in place first, focusing on the preventative side of things. So, you know, we aren't trying to perform miracles. We aren't trying to turn back the clock or make people look 20 years younger. You know, that's not really how skincare works at the end of the day. So our routine called Baseline is essentially focused on the preventative side, slowing down the rate at which signs of aging or breakouts really set in and start to affect someone's appearance. That's the approach we've taken.
Yeah, which is something that I see like very clearly. And that's one of the things that I really liked about your products and obviously using them was the basics. Mm-hmm. Like really focusing on something that does 80% of the job within its wheelhouse and its realm. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, there will be other products. Speaking to dermatologists and skin specialists that are my friends that I've had on the podcast, you know, I've always said, what's the number one recommendation you can give for skin? And they always say SPF, sun cream.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know in Australia, the ozone is very damaged. Mm-hmm. The sun is very aggressive over here.
Brutal.
Yeah.
You know, we can see that with population, and you can look at, you know, statistics as well. And, and it's common knowledge now, you know, we get skincare checks and whatnot. But I think as well, just being, as you said, keyword there, transparency, to build rapport and trust with your audience is really big. And I think that's something that resonates with me because that is an approach I take with training. I'm over here going, look, I'm just communicating this knowledge. This isn't mine. This is just factual science, what we know, and it will evolve, but the basics aren't going anywhere. And I feel like that's what you're doing with your skincare brand. It's very raw, it's very real, it's very to the point. And again, we're trying to take that complexity out of it, trying to take the stigma out of it and just go, hey, like this doesn't have to be hard, but again, it's quality over quantity. Key things with the ingredients, the sourcing, the application, and having that information readily available. As you said, men are generally not fussed, but they should probably ask more questions.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's like a female will go into a clothing shop, you'll see they'll touch the fabric more than men, so I thought, yeah, it works. Generalization, I know, but there is a little bit more attention to detail generally, and I think that it's good to have that there because it shows brand ethic and value sort of, you know, awareness, which I think is great for the customers.
That kind of brings a story that you kind of told me recently of one of your friends who he's purchased our products, and with our exfoliant, we're really clear on the fact that you should only be exfoliating two to three times a week. You know, if you're going to do it more than that, you're probably going to cause some damage, you're going to be irritating your skin a bit too much. But one of Tim's friends was like, oh my God, I love that product. Like, it smells so good, feels so good. I've been using it every day. And then Tim had to be like, oh, don't use it every day.
Like, slow down, mate, yeah. Slow down. He's like, oh, it smells so good. I'm just, yeah, just like, smashing it. I'm like, please don't. Yeah.
It's not a beer, mate. Stop saying it. But that's the main thing, and it's like, we go, well, if it's good, more is better.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we often see. And it's like, well, sometimes it's not. The danger is in the dose, or therefore the reward in this case. So it's But again, I think that's where sometimes, you know, we maybe men are like, oh, this is new, this is good, it's a bit novelty, oh, I like this. And it does, the products do smell great, I must admit. You've done a great job with formulating and kind of having a really sort of well-balanced product.
Mm, thank you.
But again, it's, you know, using it for its purpose. And I think that would align with the ethics, because a lot of brands, and this is especially true in the supplement space, more is better. Like, use more. Like, really, this works, but use this. Mm. Why? Because you'll run out fast and you'll need to buy more.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's very easy for brands to do that.
Going down the drain. It's just like with me with protein. I say to people, you know, as people think protein is for hair, skin, and nails. I mean, you want great skin. Protein's a key element because it's for your integumentary system. Mm-hmm. You know, it's for everything. The largest organ on your body is your skin. Mm-hmm. I say to men, oh, you know, like, women drastically, generally under-eating protein. And I'm like, look, let's get to a higher threshold, because not only are we going to have it there for, you know, skin health and regeneration of cells and all of those beautiful things, but yes, we will have it to repair muscle. Mm-hmm. And it's just those simple things. But if you have too much, your body can only absorb so much. It's going to be excreted out. Or if you have high doses, it will have negative effects.
Yeah.
But that's just like anything. If I try and I think we sort of talked about this before, if I may be washing my face too much, I might be taking away the natural oils and elements in the skin that actually, you know, is doing what it needs to do. It's the same with your teeth.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always talking about, like, oh, the dentist. I'm like, oh, so if I floss more, I'm like, no. You know, can I come to the hygienist and get them clean? Well, no, because it's taking the natural enamel or those products, byproducts that are, you know, within that microorganism away. So it's good to guess have that. Or like you said with your friend, it might have been easily to, not necessarily because you want him to use more, but because he's your friend, you're like, oh yeah, like, leave him to it. But it's like, no, like, you want to be honest and be like, hey man, like, that's great. But, like, I've got to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, that's exactly right. And look, you know, when you sit down and observe the situation, what's more of a problem for us? Someone using all their product and then getting very irritated skin from it, and then perhaps losing someone from our community, or, you know, us just wanting that next sale. So I think we can prioritise in that case. What's important to note, though, is I think a philosophy that we follow is, let's lay the foundation, let's educate, be as transparent as possible, and really get ourselves behind the brand as well, because at the end of the day, people are buying from people. And, you know, if we are trying to educate men and really open the door for them, we know that we need to put our face behind it, and we need to show people that we've been through this situation firsthand. And, you know, we're quite telling of, I guess, a relationship with skincare. We'll leave the door open, but we don't want to force people through. When they want to, you know, jump into the wild world of skincare, they can do that. So it's very important for us to just make sure all the education is there, an extreme level of transparency is there as well. And when people are ready to walk through and try it out, then they're ready.
Yeah, well, it's important to lead by example.
Yeah.
And knowing that it's not just a name on or a brand on a bottle, because I see that so much with the, you know, going back to a conversation we had outside, like, fabrics and fashion in the past, like, a lot of people, and fair enough, that's what you want to do, but they just get it from China and they put a label on it. And that's all well and good if that's your market. But I do feel there is another element to go about this, and it's when you go, hey, you know what, like, we're actually researching, we're trying cuts, we're doing fabric, I know it's a lot harder, and it's nice to be able to have that authenticity behind it.
Yeah.
And like you said, you're not trying to sell anyone anything. It's like, hey, look, we can solve a problem. If you experience this problem, we're one of the people that can help you out, or, you know, the company or the products that could probably, like, feed that gap. Just a quick one, guys, before we carry on with the podcast. For any of you who are interested in taking your health and physique to the next level, and you want to remove the guesswork, you're not quite getting the progress that you want, you're not seeing what you want to see in the mirror, and you're not feeling like you're really moving in the right direction, then
click the link in the bio below, the apply button, where you can contact me. We can organize a free consultation, no obligation, and discover whether it's a good fit as coach and client. All right, back to it.
I'd love to talk about like some of the business side of things now, in terms of maybe trials, tribulations, wins that you've had since starting the company. So you have this conception, you know, the other half, you talked about where the name come from before, how the other half live. If, and correct me if I'm wrong, if there's more, please tell. But how has that sort of ascension gone between, like, you've started this company, you know, you started sourcing the products, finding great people. Like, can you maybe walk us through some of the journey since starting out to where you are now, and then maybe where you want to go or your vision for the future?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think, and this is funny because we had a conversation the other week, and we actually, you know, ended up writing a blog piece about this on our website. When we mentioned to people that we've started a men's skincare brand, we usually receive one of two reactions. It's the, wow, that's phenomenal, good on you, or the, that's cool, but I didn't really know that there was a space for that side of thing. So I guess from our inception and launching the brand, it was a 2-year journey to formulate our products, get everything together. And we're quite specific around how we want to come across as a brand as well. So even doing work on that side of things, we knew was important. There has been the immediate reaction from people saying, this is absolutely amazing. But you know, we always knew it was going to be a slow growing community, a bit of a slow churn, so to speak. And that is because it is, specifically with Australia, it is quite somewhat a foreign concept to people. We ran into a man the other week. We were out actually just buying some plants at a shop, and he'd done some work in the skincare space as a photographer. He asked us what we did, and we basically replied and said, we've started a men's skincare brand. And his response was, don't forget about us old blokes, because those young guys don't need it, right? And that kind of cemented in our eyes why we're here doing what we're doing, and because at the end of the day, you do need skincare when you're younger. It's not just, that's right. It's not just let all the aging set in and then perform some wizardry, you know? No, no, it's not. We're working on it.
Yeah, but, I mean, fuck, be first.
Well, we've got one for the work time, I'm kidding.
Well, it's funny though, because like for every person who wants a magic pill, there's 100 people to sell you one.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like get rich fast, get jacked, lose fat. Everyone wants a product. It's the problem with the industry, right?
And it might not be what people want to hear, but there's not always a quick, you know, there's no quick fix. There's no quick solution.
The truth, as I always say, is very anticlimactic. Very unglamorous.
That's right.
You know, and it's boring and it's not sexy. And
it takes a bit of work and routine.
Yeah,
exactly. But I think once people learn that, and if you are putting that out there, again, like you said, you build rapport because people are like, oh, you're actually not just trying to get money off me.
Yeah.
Like, and everything, I'm like, well, everything you've done before this point hasn't worked. So maybe now understanding the truth, which is not as glamorous, but maybe try this. And over time, and having a more realistic, I think setting expectations is really critical.
Oh, that's right. That's definitely right. It's definitely something that we try to follow quite, quite ritually. But look, you know, launching to market, the immediate feedback has been amazing. And from people like yourself, from others who we're reaching out to directly from our end, or people messaging us and just saying, thank you. Thank you for supplying a solution that I know is trustworthy, isn't just a quick fix on the shelves, or so to speak, a quick fix. But the reaction's been fantastic. You think?
Yeah, definitely. And as you were saying before, with the fabrics and all of that sort of thing, it would have been so easy. We would have been able to probably start the brand in less than 6 months, I'd say, if we decided to go down the route of white labeling, which is when you essentially approach a formulator and they have like a stock standard moisturizer, cleanser, like whatever product you want, and it's just like they're pre-formulated products, which are fine, there's nothing wrong with that. But we knew the products that we wanted to have, the ingredients that we wanted to go into them, and you know, the solutions that they would then sort of help fix. So the option for us to go down the route of actually building a formula from scratch then meant our business plan was sort of like, you know, okay, we're not going to be able to launch for this much longer now because they have to do stability testing. We had to obviously test samples back and forth, decide whether we wanted a bit of a fragrance in there or not. And, you know, so it was a lot of back and forth. So from the business sense, it was sort of one of those things that, I guess if you're more of an impatient person, you'd kind of be like, oh, okay, like, well, I want something now and I want something ready to go on the shelf. But when you having those formulas that we could really get behind and love ourselves was going to be a better long-term sort of option for us. So yeah, that was sort of, I mean, one of our business sort of decisions that we're pretty proud of now, but we've had so many little hiccups along the way, like as you're asking with the business. Yeah,
how much time do you have?
All day. Well, I tell you what, no, I guess maybe the good way to frame this, to maybe pick if you've got a lot of stories out, is what would you have gone back and maybe, you know, with those specific problems, told yourselves or done differently? Or say if it was someone else starting their own company, maybe how you'd have approached it differently, and maybe intertwine that with some of these, you know, obstacles, shall we say, that you've that you've had, because we all face them in business. And I think that's also key, because people just think, oh, it's like, I use a great little metaphor, before and after photo. People see the physique before and they see, I think, oh, great. But no one sees the in between. And it's like, and I like to show that where possible and have this sort of chat with my client. And it's the same with the business. People might see it from its inception or conception and then where it sort of graduates to when it's quote unquote successful. But I've not ever spoke to anyone or any product or company that have not had obstacles. No one gets smooth sailing.
No.
I mean, I guess maybe share something that you would find valuable that if you were maybe listening to this when you'd started out.
Yeah, look, I'd probably view it from more of a business and investment sense. And I think it boils down to a few things. Entering an industry, especially one that's very, very cluttered, there's going to be imposter syndrome. We'd be lying if we said that we didn't think we were cut out for this. But at the end of the day, when we sit back and realize our story, our experience, we're like, no, we're good, you know. I think from that though, maybe certain decisions we made early on, investing too much into, say, whether it was the branding, you know, coming up with that side of things. Not saying that I regret that whatsoever, because we knew how important it was. But you know, we made little hiccups with errors on our packaging boxes. Literally one letter that you know, we have to go back and reprint. And this is after this box has gone through about six cycles of us proofing it, our designers proofing it. You just miss these things, you know. And if you said that to us at the start of our journey, we'd be like, no, what are you kidding? Like, of course nothing like that is going to happen.
I was going to say, probably our worst moment, it was just kind of like that gut absolutely dropped, sort of like, oh my God, no. We'd been waiting for all of our packaging, all of our bottles to come in, and before we sent them to the formulator, to the lab to get filled. And we were so excited, like we had all these boxes rock up and we like cut them open and we pulled the product out to like have a look. And one of the products, the base of the bottle was a totally, like it was the wrong color. And like we had samples back and forth, like we were like really set on, yep, this is perfect, this is good to go. And there's just no way we could have solved this like prior. There's no way we could have prevented it. It was just essentially like something went wrong in the manufacturing of the bottle or whatever it was. And so I think probably the most important thing, like if we were sort of hearing this before that happened to us, is just you're gonna face these things and like just don't be discouraged by it. Like you're always gonna be able to find a solution around the problem. Like just kind of put your thinking cap on, be problem solvers. You have to be a little bit like argy-bargy in business as well. Like with our manufacturer, we had to be really firm with them and say, no, this is not what we wanted. So for me, who hates confrontation and hates that sort of, you know, like awkwardness going back and forth between someone, it's, yeah, you have to get out of your comfort zone. Mm. And that was kind of something that we definitely couldn't prevent. But, you know, we learned a good lesson from it. That
you must be nimble.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the key word.
Yeah.
You've got to be very adaptable and resilient.
Yeah, for sure.
100%.
Resilience as well. Yeah. Super important because, as Tan said, literally can't describe that feeling.
Yeah, it was gut-wrenching.
Having 2 years of work come to this stage after placing a big order, big investment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not cheap.
And yeah, it's not cheap, and it being wrong, you know, and we our stomachs both just dropped.
You just want to cry, don't you?
Yeah, I think I probably did cry.
I've had it, and it because it's your baby, because you're invested in it emotionally, as well. So it's one of those things, but it's good to know that we all go through these things, and it doesn't matter how good you are or how much you go through the finds that you'll miss things.
Yeah.
But that's great learning. It's great feedback.
Oh, for sure. But you know. Now sitting here 3 months post-launch with some of the wins and some of the features that we've had, it's all honestly worth it. Seeing the people that are absolutely loving the products and the community that we're able to continue to build, it's all worth it.
Is this now like you're both full-time in this now?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, so.
Recently.
Yeah, literally off to the races with it, basically.
That's it. Yeah, you're going all in. It's it's hard, you know, because when you walk away from steady income or something else and you go, like it's nerve wracking, but oftentimes that's what it takes.
Yeah.
Because I think when you remove that distraction, all of your attention and energy goes into we've got to make this work.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to make this work as well. So it does add that sort of belief and that tenacity around it. And I often say the fire is more motivating the feathers, and the fact that, you know, if you make yourself a little bit uncomfortable, it will force you to get out there and maybe create more content, create more relationships, do things like this, get the word out there, which is really critical. I'd love to talk about now as well, and if you want to, Tanish, you can maybe showcase some of the products too, talking about, you know, everyone wants better skin. Now, we've established it's not magic, high quality ingredients and basic routines. So maybe you could talk us through, and specifically, obviously, for men, what we can be doing to improve our skincare every day. So I'd always say, if someone comes up to me and they'll say, hey, Alex, what's the best food for this? Or what's the best exercise for this? Now, I will say, fortunately, it depends.
Yeah.
But I like to give someone, if I've not got a lot of time, some basic recommendations and considerations that no matter what, this will help you and improve your health today. So maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
And obviously at the disclaimer that I understand there is a lot of individuality.
Yes.
Like with cosmetology and, you know, dermatology, it's different. And like you said, you know, it's good to see a skin specialist if need be. But I guess based on some basics, like, please share what could be beneficial for a lot of people listening.
Yeah, 100%. So as we were talking about before, and I'm sorry, I'm
so it's very nicely packaged, by the way.
Some ASMR here.
I love that. Oh, yeah. Get in there, Jacob.
I hate ASMR videos, I must admit.
When people are chewing, I'm what is going on?
Mate, don't come over to our place and try and eat a banana. You'll be chastised.
I can't stand
it's like when someone eats an apple behind you.
It just hits different. With essentials, as we were saying before, sunscreen, 100%, particularly living in Australia, but wherever you are in the world.
Dosage-wise?
Yeah, so good to also note with sunscreen, a teaspoon for the whole face and neck area actually what you need to get what is listed on the bottle. So if it's an SPF 50,
interesting.
If you're actually going to get that full protection, you need at least a teaspoon for the entire face.
That's quite a bit versus what is usually prescribed from other, like a pea size for moisture or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was one of our big dilemmas, I guess, was should we put sunscreen in? Because I mean, something is better than nothing. So it's kind of like, oh yeah, but you know, you'd never put a teaspoon amount of
a lot of things on your
face. A lot of things on. Yeah.
Whether it's exfoliant or moisturizer or something like that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly. So so we decided not to, and then that way this moisturizer can be used day and night. But our recommendation is to definitely use the sunscreen on top in the daytime.
Sounds good.
In terms of other products, as you know, we've got three products and we have them in a kit, a little set called Baseline. So cleanser, exfoliator and moisturizer. So these aside from sunscreen, are, in our opinion, and in a lot of people's opinion, the essentials for skin maintenance. I mean, it's not going to change the entire way your face looks for just from using these. This is, yeah, general basics, general maintenance. So cleansing in the morning and at night, as we talked about before off camera, we were saying if you are a little more sensitive, try and just sort of be intuitive with your skin. If it's feeling a little bit, I guess...
Dry,
tired, any issues, any inflammation, you can skip cleansing in the morning. Mm-hmm. Just use water in the shower or whatever you do. Mm-hmm. Exfoliating twice to three times a week, depending on your skin type. Again, in winter, when our skin's a little bit more sensitive and dry, you might want to pull back a little bit on that. But if your skin's really, really oily, you're probably going to want to exfoliate maybe a bit more often. So say two to three times a week.
Good to know.
Yeah, and then moisturizing morning and night as well. So with those three products plus sunscreen in the day, you're just essentially making sure your skin's clean, getting rid of the dead skin cells, reducing breakouts, and then nourishing and hydrating. So those are the key. And then from there, you've sort of got like, I guess skincare can be really broken down into like maintenance and then like sort of targeting problems. From there, you have other products out there that obviously we don't have in our range, but you can introduce a serum if you're wanting more hydration or you want to target breakouts or aging or whatever it is. You can introduce masking, so if you're really dry, you can introduce a hydrating mask. If you're really oily and you have breakouts, you can introduce a clay mask. So there are a lot of sort of little things you can add into the routine from there. Mm-hmm. But as an absolute sort of base, just to start, we just have the recommendation of cleanse, exfoliate, moisturize, sunscreen.
Makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong, where they're a bit confused. Like there is a lot of products and different types, and then even marketing. Yes. Names.
Yes.
And then they like put a different spin on it and you're like, oh, do I need that one?
Might be like lotion instead of moisturizer or cream.
That's exactly right. Everyone wants to be unique, right?
Yeah. Moisturizer can be broken down into different formulations, as we said. So lotions are generally a little bit lighter. So typically if you're a bit more oily, you'd use something a bit lighter. If you're a little bit dry, you'd use something a bit heavier. But we decided to do with our moisturizer really, really hydrating ingredients with a bit more of a light feel. So one of the kind of most common things we had with our feedback when we were formulating was, I hate greasy, thick feeling moisturizers or sunscreens or whatever it is.
Do you test this, I imagine, on men mostly, but you do it on women as well?
Yeah, definitely.
Good feedback, and obviously on yourselves too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's quite a process, isn't it? Because it's not something you can just like, say if you're developing a flavor, you go,
yes or no.
But like you have to put it on your skin and then leave it and see it.
Try for at least a few weeks.
It's all time involved.
Hence the 2 years.
Yeah.
We became quite patient.
You've got to. You've got to. So that's our products. Just the three in the baseline kit. Obviously, we will expand the range as we see fit. But the whole purpose of our sort of line of education is simplicity. Doing what you're actually going to do, not buying a whole... I know Kim Kardashian just released her, is it like 9 or 10 step skincare solution? It's a lot. And I mean, I'm not going to lie, I use a lot. I would do that for sure. But a lot of people don't. And I think if you're going to spend the money and not use it, there's just no point.
Especially I guess for men, because I mean they don't need much to be deterred anyway if that's the market space. I think men are attracted to simplicity, no nonsense for the most part. And you mentioned something actually quite good before, which was in Australia especially, like I feel where I'm from in Europe, it's a little bit more cosmopolitan, like you know, we fashion and a bit more feminine and this and look after yourself, where here it's kind of like the whole, not to stereotype people, it's a bit more tradey, like bit hard, a bit, you know, not always, but you know, and it's kind of like you got to appeal to that market. Yeah. And I see that a lot with the visuals.
Yeah.
As well, but I like it because it's very clean cut.
Yeah.
But like that sort of a bit, it's a bit gritty. It's a bit, you know, it's got the carb and the dark colours, things like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say with your experience, the biggest mistakes most people are making with their skin on a daily basis? Apart from what you've already mentioned. I mean, and it could maybe be reiterating something.
I honestly think it would just be not wearing sunscreen.
Yeah, there you go.
I think a lot of people say they use sunscreen, but they probably only use it when they go to the beach or like, you know, whatever. I mean, realistically, the best way to be using sunscreen is to be reapplying every 2 hours. And I don't think anyone knows anyone who does that, like not very often anyway. No,
most people don't use it in general. It might be just the one dose in the morning and that's it.
Yeah. It's become very situational, hasn't it? As you said, going to the beach,
okay,
I better put sunscreen on.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, even if you're sitting indoors in an office, you know, you might be next to a window or something, you can't see UV. You know, it's better to be safe than sorry, because really the sun damage is the biggest contributor to any issues that you're having with your skin. So.
I truly believe that if you're spending X amount on beauty treatments, like really expensive anti-aging products, and you're not using sunscreen, you're wasting your money on everything else. But I mean, I guess, is there anything else you can think of that's day-to-day?
I think sometimes viewing a simplistic routine as something that's not going to be effective or work, people can tend to get hyper-targeted in their approach. And we've heard stories and I guess seen situations firsthand where that's the case, you know, something happens and it's immediate, hit the panic button, let's go, you know, find the exact solution for this, where I think you're facing it at the moment, Alex, a lot of the time it is a process of elimination. And really getting to the bottom, whether it is nutrition, whether it is anything to do with your lifestyle, or whether it is certain products that you are or aren't using. It can be a process and a draining one at times. But I think another issue would be giving up, essentially, or in the same breath, trying to be too hyper-targeted.
Demonizing something.
Like a lot
of people do with nutrition.
Yeah.
Eggs are bad. It's like, well, maybe it's not eggs.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can't, but yeah, people just sort of be... it's the binary mindset we live in, good, bad, on, off, where it's like we need to be critical thinking, or we need to understand that there's a spectrum. It's not on or off. That's a big thing. I think we walk on that polarization of life, where that is not always the best mindset to have. So, that's a good point.
I feel as though, like, not to get too like into politics and all that sort of stuff, but I mean, I feel like the last few years with COVID has been really... I don't know, I think it's really challenged us as a society in that regard. Like, you're either like pro-vax or anti-vax or whatever it is, you know, like you're either this or you're that. So like, rather than kind of being so set on one thing, I think it's really good to just keep a really open mind with, you know, particularly as you were saying with like skincare, as you were saying earlier, Alex, it's like it's a holistic thing. Your nutrition is really going to add to or detract from the health of your skin at the end of the day. So having a holistic mindset, definitely.
Multifaceted, multi-layered in many approaches. I want to, before we wrap up, I want to do some rapid fire questions.
Okay.
But before we do, is there anything else that you wanted to mention about your product, about skincare, or anything else that you'd love to get across to the people listening and watching?
I think it's just... like, it's not scary, it's not hard. It can be if you overcomplicate it, but I think if you're sort of thinking about entering the space, like interested in it, just ask. There's people, there's, you know, brands, like, we're very willing to talk to people, give our opinions and our advice and that sort of thing. But you know, if you just like talk to the people around you, it's really not an intimidating space, but it can be perceived as that. So don't be afraid to just ask a question.
Yeah, I think understand it for what it is as well. And on a surface level, it's quite empowering doing something for your future self. And that goes whether you're putting in effort in the gym, or, you know, whether you're putting effort into your personal relationships. you're doing that to set yourself up for the future. And skincare, and really what we preach is, you know, this is a preventative measure. So when you turn whatever age it is, you know, perhaps you won't be looking back and saying, geez, I wish I really would have done that. Because that's a scary thought, you know, in whatever respect, whether it's taking risks or whether it is exercising and looking after your physical health. Mm. Looking back and saying, geez, I really should have put the effort in then, is a scary thing to think about. So realize that it is an empowering practice. And it's not scary. It's an investment at the end of the day. And look, is skincare for everyone? Yes, it is. Will everyone adopt skincare? No, they won't. And we understand that. So
it's the same as, you know, fitness and all that sort of industry as well. You're not going to like go to the gym until you get really buff and feel really good, and then you just quit because you've got to that point. You know, you're going to keep going because you're enjoying how you're feeling, and you're going to see the long-term results of it.
That's our two cents.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, guys. And it's good. And like you said, it's basic, it's simple, it's to the point, but it works. As I always say.
Definitely, mate.
Rapid fire wise, a little bit more fun in nature. Okay. So I'd love to hear from both of you, whatever comes to mind. The first one is, and we'll do a series of three before we get onto the finale question. If you could choose a superpower, what would it be and why? And you can make one up. There is no rules here.
Oh my
gosh. Be as creative as you like.
Oh, well, we've actually, I know this is rapid fire. We've been watching The Boys. Do you watch it?
I've heard about it. We don't have to
even use our imagination to think of different superpowers. That is a whack show.
I was going to say, if anyone's seen it, it's
if you've
weird.
Seen it, you'll, it's if weird, you've seen yeah. the most recent episode, you'll know what we're talking about. But
really twisted. I was like, wow, this is really, really uncensored.
Yeah, it is. That's tough. Do you know
what you're honestly, the amount of times that I just think to myself, wow, if I could have been a fly on the wall in that situation. So maybe invincibility, you know, just being there to just see something or a conversation occur.
Invisibility,
I'm sorry.
Maybe he's meeting and he's just an age and he's going back.
I'm sorry, yes. Yeah. Also, I'd like to be invincible, but... yeah,
that's a superhero.
Ant-Man's pretty cool, I guess. It's an ant, but...
There's always pros and cons, isn't there?
Yeah.
I always go for Nightwish, like the transport, like to be able to just go bang now and I'm in like Europe.
Yeah, I think that would be mine because I love traveling so much. So, you know, on the weekend, let's pop to Europe. Yeah.
Sure, Elon Musk is working on some form of transport.
He's got Neuralink. He'll be like Neurotransport. There'll be something coming out eventually. We need these blokes. Pioneers.
Yeah, let them do their thing.
The second one would be kind of on that same thread, really, is if you could wake up anywhere in the world tomorrow, where would you go? You mentioned to me before you've done a lot of countries, you've done a little bit of traveling. It's great. So if you had that opportunity just to bang, wake up, bang, you're there. Where would it be? And I'm interested to see if you pick the same thing.
Well, we've been talking about Japan for a long time, and I think that's probably our next trip, so I'll probably say Japan. But I think I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, I've been to Japan. I really love that country. Can't wait to go back. If I could wake up anywhere, it probably would be Iceland. But I want to also... notch up Denmark very soon as well.
Yeah. Copenhagen. We've been to Iceland and it was our favourite country in
phenomenal.
The world.
For what reason?
It just feels like you're on another planet. It's so beautiful. The scenery is incredible. But
we did a big drive around the country and you look left, you look right. Like everywhere there's waterfalls.
Yeah.
One day you'll be in one sort of terrain.
The next day you'll be in... they look like Mars, and then you'll be like... yeah, around the waterfalls, and it feels like you're on this like incredible, beautiful planet. It's like it's amazing.
The diversity is huge.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah, we saw the Northern really Lights. Something. Yeah, it was an amazing country.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do want to do Scandinavia as well. So I think Copenhagen, Denmark. You were talking about recently.
High on my list, actually. That's one of the areas of the world I've not done yet.
Mm.
I'm quite fascinated with it for many reasons.
Scandinavia.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool facts and just different things about that place, that part of the world, which they've just, I feel they've got right.
Yeah, it's really idyllic, isn't it?
It's untouched in many ways. Yeah. They've got a lot of things right, economy-wise, politics. It's just, there's a lot of, you know, I know people are cold. I'm like, yeah, but they're cut out for it. It's different. And also, if you are in Europe, you can kind of just, you know, jump over the next up, jump over the boat sort of thing. But yeah, no, I think there's a lot of hidden gems over there, that's for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My last rapid-fire question is, what is your favorite meal combination? So, for example, say it's a Saturday night, you're like, right, we're getting a takeout, you know, or you could say it's your last meal if you want to, but I find that's a little bit sort of depressing. A bit morbid, you know what I mean? So, like, your favorite combo that you'd have, you go, right, that's my go-to, I love it. And look, it could be like a drink, main dessert, whatever it is. It could just be dessert, it could be cheesecake.
Oh, I'm a massive sweet tooth.
You are.
But that's really tough.
It is, isn't it? Because the thing is, the more you dwell on these, there's more.
There's so
and
many.
You'll always go, oh, actually, I should have chosen
that.
Yeah.
I think instantly it's probably like some sort of sweet, like a, you know, ice cream or something like that. But
Say, I think we've already mentioned one brand on this podcast. So I'm going to chime up and mention another, but the Guzman burrito bowl is all time one of the best things out there. So
it is up there.
Yeah, it's really good. It's
very filling.
Yeah. So
spicy chicken burrito bowl. Yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah, whilst it would do some, a little bit of damage to the waistline, maybe not as much.
Not too bad, actually. Yeah.
So
sponsored by Guzman Gomez. Yeah. link in the bio. Next minute. Yeah. Hola.
Yeah. And Ben and Jerry.
Oh, man. Yeah. That'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, they're good.
I think I'd have to go with like ice cream, Ben and Jerry's or something like that.
Ben and Jerry's can't get any better.
That's good. Burrito bowl, Ben and Jerry's done. Saw it.
Yep. Yeah, that's actually a good combo.
I like it.
What are you doing tonight?
Hey! Maybe some wine as well. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Now we're thinking.
Yeah.
Or with a burrito bowl, maybe a mug or something. I don't know.
Oh, there you go. On a Monday?
There you go. That's why you work for yourselves, guys. Doesn't matter what day it is. And my last question that I ask all my guests is, can you identify a fear that you've had in your life? It could be current, could be in the past, what it was, what you've learned from it, and how you overcame it. Or if it is still current, what you're doing to overcome that fear. It can be completely related or completely off topic from what we've talked about today.
Yeah, I think for myself, I've always had in the back of my mind, you know, I guess that common fear, and I'm sure most people do, of am I on the right path? Or am I on the right journey, essentially? Still to this day, I still have those thoughts. I think, you know, what I do to not succumb to that sense of things is really just focus every single day on putting in the work, you know, getting up, getting my shit done, so to speak, and getting on with my day with as least distractions as possible. Yep. Knowing at the end of the day, I can look back and say, yeah, I got shit done. Yep. And, you know, the path will take care of itself, essentially. So I guess the biggest fear for myself would be reaching a certain age, looking back and say, mate, you didn't put in the work, or you didn't take enough risk when you should have.
Yeah, no, I think we can all resonate with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, my fear is probably, my biggest fear would be failure, definitely. Yeah, I think it's, as Tim mentioned a lot earlier, the whole, starting a business, having something that you're kind of exposing yourself to, you know, you make yourself really vulnerable. But I think imposter syndrome really hits me hard, like, and both of us, I guess, in a way. But I think Tim is really good for me in that regard. Like, he's like, no, like, he's really, really reassuring, gives me that confidence to carry on. And
likewise.
Yeah, I think, we complement each other in that regard. But I think just kind of trying to dismiss those thoughts when they come to mind, like being really grateful for the things I have and kind of keeping that positive mindset, that all really helps to kind of subdue the negative thoughts and the kind of looming fear of failure that we sort of have.
I think it's normal though, isn't it? I mean, like, it's funny because like, I always bring this up now. you know, 100 and whatever podcasts we're in. 10, 11, 12.
Congratulations.
I know. Thank you. Good man. It's great. But yeah, very fortunate, very grateful. Spoke to some, you know, brilliant minds. Mm. And this always kind of comes up in some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
And the more books I read and the more podcasts I listen to as well, it's, we all have it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, like this is normal. This is a trait of someone who's going after something. The fear of failure, the imposter syndrome, the fear of not making it.
Mm-hmm.
The irony is that is why you will make it because it's that internal, what we call like intrinsic locus of control that's driving you to, like, it's that inner voice in your head that's like, up to you, but if you don't do it, and then you're like, ooh, and that discomfort dwells.
Yeah.
So you're sort of moved by that to go, well, because I'm so fearful or that I'm so, like, I really want to move away from failure. I want to be as far away, even though it's feedback, right? Because we've all failed to a degree. It drives us to do what we need to do to take action, to create momentum, to get the job done, to grow the business, to be able to create rapport, whatever it is.
Very true.
Yeah.
Within that, and I just always find that really fascinating as someone who's listened into all these conversations. I like to draw patterns.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's an interesting
That is really interesting because when you have that fear and that thought, it's kind of like, it is quite selfish. Like you think it's just you. You like don't think it's happening to anyone else. And yeah, it is. I mean, I don't know if it's settling to know that it happens to other people, but at least you're kind of like, oh, okay, well, like, there are so many other people out there that are doing incredible things.
Oh, yeah.
And if they can get over it, then, you know, I definitely can as well. So, yeah.
I guess the lesson is to treat it as a guide, not so much a go away, those thoughts, you know what I mean? So,
yeah
no, it's a embrace very interesting the feeling. Point. Embrace it.
Oh, for sure. Well, I guess it's a great way to wrap up what's been an insightful conversation. I appreciate you both coming down, sharing something to the viewers. For people who want to find out more, and I'd urge a lot of the listeners and the watchers to, you know, if they've got questions about skincare, perhaps reach out to yourselves, you know, invest in the products. They do work, the basic, the simple. I can testify because I've used them as well, which I always think is important. You know, when we talked about that, when you reached out at the start, it's like, it's got to be organic. It's got to be aligned with my ethics and beliefs. And I do honestly love what you're doing in the space. But where can people go to find you? You know, where's the best places to connect?
Yeah, we're on socials, website. So probably good to note, because if you're listening via audio, other half is spelled without the E. So it's OTHRHALF.
It's like grilled. You know, when they do it. No, but you know what I mean? No.
It is kind of like grilled.
There's no E in it. And I'm like, oh, fuck, man. And
it's
then I used to, just grilled them. And I'm just like, oh, man. But you know that's a trademark.
So, otherhalf.com. We're on Instagram, otherhalf. We're trying to keep up with kids on TikTok, otherhalf as well. But yeah, we're accessible anywhere. Essentially, anyway, you can find us on socials, so definitely reach out.
Facebook, Other Half Skin.
Yep, and we're always there. It's always us behind the brand.
That's it.
Which I think is important, you know, when people can speak to the people behind it, which is good.
Yeah,
always accessible.
Well, that's it, and I'll put all the links in the description below, guys, wherever you're listening, watching, YouTube, you know, Spotify, iTunes, all those other ones that I don't know the name of, I'll be honest. But guys, thank you again. Really, really appreciate
your
time.
Thank you very much, mate. Appreciate it.
And remember, for everyone who's tuning in, like, comment, share it with someone who, you know, is going to find value. If you really like this as well, whether it's a like or a comment or a rating, or, you know, whether it's a share on social media, we really appreciate it because it helps the channel grow. And obviously, it helps more people, you know, do better things with their health. And in this case, skincare.
So, that's it.
Yeah. Until the next episode, guys, as ever, you already know, stay fearless.
For those of you who are confused, frustrated, and sick and tired of not seeing the results that you want or deserve, make sure that you click the Apply for Coaching button in the description below and line up a completely free consultation with myself, where we can discover if it's a good fit as client and coach and take your health and physique to the next level once and for all.